Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
Yes. Well, the good news is, of course, as we welcome Rob Nichols to his show. Hello, Rob. Welcome
Hello.
To the show.
Yeah.
that so far, it's 3-0.
3-0?
3-0. Every time Gary Monk has actually brought a team to the Riverside, he's lost.
Ah.
1-2-3, Birmingham. Beat them all three times.
Yes.
So, you know, no real worries, I would have thought. On the other hand, Jordan Rhodes. Jordan Rhodes. He's pushing to be included.
Mm.
And we all know what sometimes happens when former strikers, who may have had a bit of a challenging time, suddenly lined up against their own clubs.
Mm, and Adam Reach was playing quite well again, and I remember him scoring against those last season.
Quite a good goal, actually.
Yes, indeed. Mm. He always gets good goals.
Yeah, well, that's very true. But this is the podcast, which is going to be a mini epic in so many ways, because we'll be talking with a variety of fine souls. Actually, it's just Rob and myself, to be honest, so I don't know. Let's expand. Let's over-egg the pudding. But in terms of the sequence, we'll be putting together discussions about Neil Warnock.
Boo!
Hiss! Boo!
Yes.
Curiously, pantomime villain both cited by Middlesbrough fans and Sheffield Wednesday fans in early season surveys.
Ah, well.
Who was going to be the biggest pantomime villain, and Neil Warnock was actually sort of, you know, a common ground.
Yes, I could understand it for Sheffield Wednesday.
Interesting, Sheffield Wednesday and Borough supporters, best away fans, grudgingly, Leeds United.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I know. So these are the kind of things that sort of work through. In fact, if I'm being precise with respect to this, because other podcasts might sort of made one or two sort of bits and pieces, but we go for a little bit of precision. And this comes from the fan's view of a gentleman called Josh Hollis, as far as Middlesbrough is concerned.
Oh, yes, I know Josh. Yeah.
So that's Josh's line was, when asked the pantomime villain Neil Warnock,
yeah,
he's back, baby. I don't know if that's Josh being cool or down with the kids, but...
Well, he is a kid.
Makes perfect. Aren't we all, Rob?
Yeah.
But yes, his other line, best away fans are Leeds, sadly, he says. Best away fans are Leeds.
I guess his biggest numbers... And Josh used to, I don't know whether Josh ever appeared on this programme, because he used to used to write and used to sell Flames the Moons.
Ah, well, you might have mentioned it then a couple of times. Maybe he did.
I'm not sure.
Josh, if you're out there, just put it down to the fact that we can't remember anything these days.
We're senior.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the classic line. However, it's got to be in front of us, got to be written down. Can't cope with these tablets. You know, or maybe we can. Sheffield Wednesday, as we mentioned, they're their best away fans again. Same way. This is for Laura Lawrence. Laura Lawrence. Best away fans are Leeds, sadly. So I just thought it's kind of trying to get an insight into the mind, really.
Laura is not going to put Sheffield United, and I presume that is the same reason why Neil Warnock figures highly for Sheffield Wednesday as a pantomime villain.
Even though, fun fact, which you might like to drop in when Borough are 4-0 up tomorrow,
okay,
or whenever you're listening to it, etc., Sheffield Wednesday were originally nicknamed the Blades. That was their first nickname.
Really?
They only became the Owls when they moved to Owleton.
Owleton, yes. That's right, yes.
Prior to that, they were called...
The Blades.
The Blades.
Wow.
Yeah. You see, other podcasts might try, but we bring you facts that are unbelievable.
Hard-hitting facts.
Exactly. Crucial things. As well as that, of course, we've got Discover Middlesbrough coming up. And there's a little matter of a Scottish chap bringing Preston to the Riverside as well.
Yes.
Which is going to be interesting from that line. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Preston flying high.
Yeah, thankfully they were put to the sword in the Calibo Cup this week, which is fine after the half-time break being 3-0 up, and an own goal, of course, which was good. Good to see from that point of view. Because let's face it, there are sides, Colchester, who are a lot stronger. Sorry, Tottenham. You got to smile, haven't you, really?
Yeah.
You know? And sadly, Rochdale, so close. Curiously enough,
yes, that's right.
The scorer for Rochdale, I know, we're getting on to Borough for facts and figures very, very shortly.
16-year-old, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suddenly everyone sort of looks at one's life and you think, well, that's it then.
Don't mention Sunderland.
I'm sorry, for a moment there was momentary pause. It wasn't a case of, you know, we were over-modding, it was just momentary pause.
Yes.
Okay, so... Let's talk Cardiff.
Yes.
Because we have to.
Yes, it was kind of same old, because Neil Warnock, pantomime villain, because he always beats Borough.
Mm.
And Cardiff City always seemed to beat Borough 1-0. I think twice last season, once this season, and they're always really poor games, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. And obviously what split the two teams was an own goal after 2 minutes, which was a tremendous...
Mr. Fletcher, please, exactly. Yes. You know, I mean, it's like mutiny on the bounty, isn't it? Mr. Fletcher, yes. Mr. Christian. You know, it's, I mean, yep. 30 lashes probably back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, Bruce Rioch would not have been happy with his kind of approach to that.
No, and he's back, he was back in town this week, a big event for Gary Parkinson, which was... raised £24,000 for Gary, which is fantastic for his welfare. Bruce Rioch would not have been happy.
He would be furious. It would have been 30 lashes, if not more.
A near post header into his own net. But there's plenty of time left, of course, from that point, with only 2 minutes gone, to get back into the game. But we huffed and puffed. And then in the end, Cardiff did what Neil Warnock's side does, they just go back into the ranks and force you to sort of kick the ball high, and that's sort of food and drink when you've got Aidan Flint and Morrison in the middle just heading everything out. So it was really disappointing. Obviously, it's not a short trip.
Well, returning to Josh Hollis, who was again quizzed by 442 magazine in terms of lines forward. In a sense, I'm not too displeased that James Brown has now left 442. I never felt he was really the right person for 442. He's kind of, in so many ways, the Boris Johnson of newspaper publishing, really, with Lads magazines and Loaded.
I knew him in Leeds before he started. And I met him again a few years on when he had been doing...
Didn't last long on 442.
Did he not?
There.
Right.
3 months.
No, right.
So, that's what I say. In the whole scheme of things, you know, came with lots of great ideas, and then whoosh, he's out. Anyway, other magazines are available. And anyway, bottom line.
Yeah.
Why would you worry about 442 when you got Fly Me to the Moon? It's just like a review of things. However, returning to Josh, and something which possibly ties up the whole sequence, he won't be happy, Josh, unless Lewis Wing scores 5 25-yard screamers this season. Five.
He sets his bar high. Although, if the bar's high, then maybe Lewis Wing will score more goals underneath it. Yeah. And of course, Lewis Wing, we should say Lewis Wing didn't start at Cardiff. He came off the bench and Woodgate chose to start with George Saville instead. I think he was favouring the physical.
I think the interviews with Jonathan Woodgate beforehand, he was talking about winning ugly and getting into that notion of being able to win ugly and so on. So, but losing ugly is not the same.
No, quite.
Never mind. Ryan Shotton seems to be improving.
Yes, he's settled in well. It'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend because, of course, Ayala was out for a little while and before that Fry. He's now got a situation where he can pick from... They picked themselves in a way, but Shotton responded well to being moved back into centre-back. He had a bit of criticism early on because his distribution was poor, but he seems to have found his feet in that position because remember the last couple of seasons he was playing as an attacking right-back and using those long throws from that flank. So, yes, he's playing well, but as I say, that they're all three centre-backs played at Cardiff, so it'll be interesting to see what happens in these two home games.
Yeah. Intriguingly enough, if we're looking at numbers and so on, and for those people actually saying, but why, are you going to be mentioning the Lionesses? Yes, we will.
Oh,
you know, in time,
yeah.
In time, everything, be patient. That's the important thing.
Yes, come on.
But,
hardly started.
Exactly. Middlesbrough's Riverside Stadium has, according to our colleagues at the BBC, seen fewer goals scored than any other championship ground so far this season.
Right, and
3-4 and 2 against.
So that's a trend coming over from the Tony Pulis
that
era.
That did strike me as interesting for those folk who are actually turning around and saying, well, what about the Pulister, etc. Again, Brita Sambalonga currently on 49 home league goals, of course.
Right.
What a time to go up to 52.
Ah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
14 of those coming for Middlesbrough, of course.
Yes, and with these two home games coming together like this and against, I think I'm right in saying Sheffield Wednesday in ninth place and Preston really flying high in third. Opportunity, on the other hand, we've got formidable opponents. Perhaps they'll be the two toughest games that we've had at home so far. And it would be great to see a response from that Cardiff, the disappointment at Cardiff. You know, it's going to take a while to bed in, and we obviously, as you just pointed out, not scoring the goals as yet.
The decision, surely, it's all boiling down to the notion of you're either going to go for mid-table mediocrity or you're going to give it a shout.
Yeah.
Really go for it. And these are the games. And curious enough, if you recall, our guest, non-football person on our last podcast, Dilbag, actually predicted a 3-2 victory for Middlesbrough, where she got the kind of the home score.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
1-0. So it's good from that. For those people who are actually, I mean, there might be one or two listeners who specifically, and maybe some of our new listeners on Red Army Radio, say, I just want to keep a chart of that. So and of course, the return of Gary Monk.
Yes, as you say, we've got a good record against Gary Monk.
Exactly.
Yes, we'll
keep surf over that.
Yeah,
exactly,
there's a little bit of
just a touch
friction there. But Gary Monk did win his first game with Sheffield Wednesday, which is something that he didn't do with Middlesbrough.
Yes.
He made a habit of losing his first game. But yeah, he won that first game, but they drew, didn't they? The second match, and that was an equaliser. They were 1-0 down. They had a funny start the season because, of course, they were managerless for a long time.
I think it's somebody who's working for a club a bit north of Sunderland.
Yeah.
That actually has equaled Steve McLaren's home record.
Yeah.
So that's good news.
It is.
From that point of view, good to see that there's balance there in terms of success. Nice to see they beat Tottenham after a fashion, but there we are. Most sides can these days, it would seem. in terms of Gary Monk, is he a misunderstood genius? He certainly seems to be one of those managers who, sufficiently young enough, has had, obviously, Borough, Swansea, Birmingham, now, of course, with Sheffield Wednesday. The first choice of many Sheffield Wednesday fans.
No.
I was speaking to Tony McDonough, who was around, and he said, not that impressed.
Really. No. And, of course, we'll all remember that his stint at Leeds, I think it was gradual progress in a way. And there's a lot of comparisons that hate it. There's a lot of comparisons between the clubs, isn't there, Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds, in the unfulfilled potential. Obviously, Leeds are finally, in the last couple of seasons, challenging again. But it was an awful long time in the wilderness, and that's what it's been like for Sheffield Wednesday. Mm. They've had one playoff final in the last 3 or 4 years, and then other seasons where they've just been absolutely nowhere. And we know that in that city, as they know to their cost with Sheffield United, they can get a lot of fans. And they've got that massive stadium, of course.
They probably need the equivalent of a Chris Wilder.
Yes.
Is Gary Monk that kind of individual? Somebody can really grab hold of them, motivate them.
Well, he's got something around him, hasn't he? Because he doesn't seem to stick around very long. Yeah. He seems to either he leaves a club or the club part company with him very rapidly indeed.
Looking at the lineups, it doesn't look as though Tom Lease is going to be playing because he's recovering from injury.
Right.
Mixed feelings with respect to that. We mentioned, obviously, Jordan Rose from that point of view. Actually, I put this in the good news front, and you might sort of think, I don't know, Rüdiger Stead probably won't be playing. Still recovering from a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
Always think it's a bit deadly when Rudy is brought on. It's not really a huge success, it has to be said, but he's still hanging on in there. I mean, you see him regularly. All that. Is he still he's a trier, bless him. Or is it just a case of, for goodness sakes?
Well, he's had a lot of stick even before he was signed because people questioned whether he was the right player to bring
Villa.
In. Yeah, that's right. And he didn't seem to have cut it as a Premier League player. But the season before that at Blackburn, he was a player that really, really terrified Championship defences. That's what I remember. And Middlesbrough included. He was so physical.
But then so did Jordan Rhodes at the time.
Different sort of players. And, of course, they both played together for one season when they got about 50 goals between them. Whether they both play better as a pair. They both played on their own up front on their own when they play for Borough. At the moment, though, we are playing a pair up front in Fletcher and Brittesson Belonga. We haven't got much choice. If Gusted's injured, they're the only two players, and they've got to pick themselves. So they've got to do a lot of work, and I think a lot of work is demanded of them from Jonathan Woodgate. But as you said earlier about Britt, if he's poised on for that 50th Riverside goal, he does look. He looks more as if he's got that confidence that when it gets in the box, that he's looking for a shot and he's looking for a goal, and he's not hiding in any way. And Fletcher obviously knows his way to the net, but maybe he just needs to turn around and put it in the right net. But he's doing a lot of good work as well, Fletcher. And it would be great if we could see it all come to fruition in these next two games. They both score goals. And it'll be really good to topple some of the two clubs that are above us in the table.
And bucking the trend, of course, in terms of Borough and Sheffield Wednesday, there have been just two goals scored in the past three championship meetings between Borough and Sheffield Wednesday at the Riverside.
Oh, really?
So it may be a long afternoon. But we'll just have to wait and see. We were looking, obviously, the last time for the podcast companion to the Reading game at some of the exciting things that were put together.
Issue 598.
Issue 598.
600.
It's just
not
awesome.
Far away.
Exactly. It's just they're relentless.
Yes, and that last match was the 500th league match at the Riverside Stadium. The few people that have been to all 500. I've been to 499. It's my 500th against Sheffield Wednesday.
The moot point is all down to your brother's wedding.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Never mind. It's a walk through there.
Well, it's amazing that, you know, so to find out afterwards that there was quite a few people that had actually been to all 500 games, it's a bit of an achievement.
Or a pilgrimage.
It's, you know, that fans are there through, as in the old cliche, through thick and thin. Mm. But you don't get many footballers these days that are able to have, obviously not 500 games at home, because they'd have to be about 56 years old or something.
Stanley Matthews.
Yeah. But, you know, 500 games for a club, it's incredibly rare now.
Yeah. So good from that point of view. And let's hope maybe the club would actually sort of acknowledge that and actually thought you should have a sort of a celebration from that point of view.
Well, they actually give some gifts randomly to some season ticket holders who've been there from the start. Yeah. It's quite hard for the club to know who's been to 500 games because it's all to do down to honesty.
Do they not have computers?
But
of course.
Ah, but yes, Alex, I've found somebody who's been to 500 games and I've interviewed him, so it'll be in the next issue.
Wow. Yeah. It's warming up. Still to come on Fly Me to the Moon podcast, we're going to be discovering Middlesbrough. Have we lost it again? No, it will be happening. A wonderful festival that's around our car. It's my one joke per year, Rob.
Very good. Oh, and I tell you what, we can say something today because there's an important anniversary today which is linked to Discover Middlesbrough. An important anniversary going back to, and I'll give a clue, 1825.
We'll leave the listener with that little thing in mind whilst we take a short break, and we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about Presto. We'll be talking about not Rory the Lion, but Rory, yes, the Lioness.
Oh, yes.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
100. Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 245
grams of magnesium, 3 resorbs of calcium. Hang on! Hang on! Slow down! And one tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right,
that's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Indeed, you can also access the Red Army Radio.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven, and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Planet.
Sorry, Rob. I know Bernie was just so keen to get in there, and once again, he just missed the point. Do you know those moments where you think, where, what, who, what's happening?
Well, of course, Bernie was active this week, in, as we were talking about that Gary Parkinson fundraiser that was at the Beechwood and Easterside Club, and Bernie was very much at the fore in pulling that together, bringing back Bruce Rioch. And nearly all of that incredible team from 86, 87 that brought
Tony
us back
Mowbray,
from
Colin Cooper.
Yes, Gary Pallister, Archie Stevens.
Wow. Blast of the past. Listen, sorry, Bernie. I know you want a second chance, so let's take it again, shall we?
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven, and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Flying at the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie.
There, you see. You know, he's always a professional, you see. He doesn't get a good goal scorer. He might hit the bar or might be sort of forced off, but he'd come back and score again.
Yes, he might have been offside, flagged offside.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah.
So, right.
1825. Come on, Alex.
Yes.
September the 27th.
Wait, I'll admit that if the listener had been privy to the sort of discussion we've been having, yeah, here, I would have been way off base.
You were way off.
Well, completely. I was talking about The Last Man, Mary Shelley's book, etc. Of course, it's the onset of the Darlington to Stockton Railway.
Stockton and Darlington Railway. That's the point.
I didn't even get the right location, did
No,
I?
You didn't. It was built to bring coal from the coal fields, financed by people from Quakers from Darlington, and it went to the port of Stockton. 5 years later, they extended to Middlesbrough, so Middlesbrough becomes the first railway town. Mm. But it wasn't the first railway in the world, because there was many private railways on industry coal fields, but this was the first one to allow public passengers and as well as goods, and also to have steam. And you were talking Discover Middlesbrough. We're going to have an excursion outside of Middlesbrough on the 19th of October, indeed, to the Head of Steam Museum, which is a museum devoted to the Stockton and Darlington Railway. And then we'll walk from that museum, only a distance of about a mile, to a railway bridge that I don't know whether you're aware of, Alex, a railway bridge that goes across the River Skern in Darlington that used to be on the back of, it was either fivers or tenners, it might have been £5 notes, for many years, and it showed the locomotion number one, which was the first ever steam locomotion on that railway, going across the Skern Bridge. Mm. So it was on the back of your notes that were in your pocket. And that's... A local guy, sort of, I know, called a local filmmaker called JT, kind of rediscovered it in a way, that it was quite a neglected icon, but it's now the world's oldest oldest railway bridge that's still in use. Mm. And they got it spruced up, and people go along there and see it and think, oh, used to be on my money, that.
All we can say is explore, experience, enjoy. You got Frosty's coming back. You got Phil Philo. Who's Frosty? Well, there are those of us who actually remember when he was indeed the anchor person of so many Tyne Tees pieces and so on. He used to be based in his little Billingham abode, and then magic to the whole system. But indeed, he's continued over longwards, and his line is, flush the loos, we're launching a ship, an audience with Paul Frost.
That's right, it's from the old courtroom in the town hall. If you've not been yet, then that's a good opportunity to go. It's an old Victorian courtroom which actually predates the town hall. And Paul Frost might own up to something that he did in that room that maybe he shouldn't have done.
Tuesday the 15th of October. The actual event itself, of course, runs from the 6th of October to the 5th of November. We've got Phil Philo giving a talk on James Cook, in many ways, his circumnavigation and charting of New Zealand.
Yes, because that's almost the exact anniversary of 250 years ago, Cook landing in New Zealand. Something that's obviously there's been quite a bit of controversy about it at the moment in New Zealand amongst the Maori community.
Absolutely, they wrecked the whole thing.
Yeah, and so that'd be interesting to hear Phil's take on it, the pros and cons of the impact that it had, but also at the time what the impression from both sides really.
Talk looking at Cook's circumnavigation and charting of New Zealand, as you say, relations with the Maori people and the wealth of material that the voyage brought back to Britain, inspiring further European explorations of the world and so on.
And that's from the Cook Birthplace Museum, which is pretty close to where we're broadcasted from now at in Marton, because we're in the James Cook Hospital, aren't we? So
that indeed is where we are recording today, doing all manner of routines. Now, it's fair to say that Ellen Jenkinson, I always forget her surname. Our first Middlesbrough MP, who did so many sort of marvellous things there.
Oh, Wilkinson.
Ellen Wilkinson, you see, it's not Jenkinson.
Red Ellen.
Not doing well, exactly. She would not have had much truck for our current Prime Minister.
Heavy
political point.
Yeah.
But putting women on a pedestal is a talk that's actually given by Martin Pegram, who's going to be exploring the lives of more than 100 Teesside women. All at once, in 1 hour. It's physically impossible, Martin. But he's going to attempt it.
He'll try and do it.
Exactly, including, of course, one who became famous by her role in an assassination attempt.
Ooh.
Those are some of the initial highlights. We've got things like My Town, My Future, photograph sharing, Tees Valley Tars on the 18th of October. You've actually outdone yourself, I see, Rob, once again in coordinating this whole system, including, as you mentioned, the Globe Hard Hat Tour and from the Teesside Archives. Exactly.
Yes, you're right. Going outside of Middlesbrough.
And how Middlesbrough saved the world's public railway from disaster.
Stockton and Darlington Railway,
On how the Middlesbrough saved the world's first passenger railway, which is going to be delivered by JT,
indeed, the same JT,
same JT,
yes,
exactly. And what would a Discover Middlesbrough event be without a World Palmo competition on Monday the 28th of October? Awesome.
Town hall.
I'm sure there's something for everybody there. Presumably these leaflets are actually available on library, or you can indeed go online to presumably fb.me/discovermiddlesbrough.
Yeah.
That'd be Facebook, of course.
Yeah, that's right, Facebook.
Discover Middlesbrough is your key thing from that point of view. Excellent. Sad to see there's no Book of the Month live, but never mind, that's all right. Yeah, or Fly Me to the Moon live, which we could have done, but, you know, that's okay. We're not bitter. let's move on to Preston. North End.
Next Tuesday. Exactly. And as we said, at this point in time, High Flying in third place. And, well, I think in the same way that Norwich and Sheffield United might have surprised an awful lot of people in getting promoted last season, Preston, they've been going under the radar for a couple of years, really, been progressing. Mm. And they've been producing one or two good players that
they've always been there or thereabouts ever since the era of David Moyes.
Yeah.
But let's turn to
a good stadium.
Yeah. Their fan soul, Ollie Dawes.
The City of Preston.
And his line when asked, best away fans, Leeds. Easy answer, but they always sell out. What is this about best away fans being Leeds?
Because of the numbers they bring everywhere.
Not
necessarily best in other words, I wouldn't have thought.
Exactly. It's amazing in terms of best fans from that point. I'm just, where happening on this? I mean, at least Reading have the joy of saying their best away fans are Brentford's.
Right.
They buck the whole thing on that basis.
Obviously,
I've got an issue here, Rob, which I'm not going to let lie, it needs to be sorted through at least, surely.
I would go with the Brentford as well, because they're fantastic home and away. They're fantastic fans.
Can hardly be souls who effectively are best behaved fans. I mean, not that I want to cast any aspersions, but it's rare that Leeds would actually pick up many sort of routines for that.
Yeah, and of course, as you were saying earlier on for Preston, it brings us face to face with one of our old adversaries in Alex Neil, who outthought us maybe in the playoff final when he was manager of Norwich many years ago. Fortunately, we did get promoted the season after, but he's been slowly but surely building a pretty useful side at Preston. Against all the odds, I would say, because they're never going to be the most highly resourced club in the league.
They are currently in third position. Of course, if you're listening to this before the game against Sheffield Wednesday, that's where they sit. Things will change if you're listening to it afterwards, because we like to feel that a podcast with Fly Me to the Moon is for life, not just for the day it's born.
Absolutely.
You can access all manner of items there. But currently third position, a point, literally a point behind Swansea City and Leeds United, who are obviously in kind of joint first in many ways.
Yeah, I guess, again, Swansea, another club that have progressed in the last couple of seasons since getting relegated, because despite losing their manager.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see, talking
about star players,
ex-good players who tried very hard but in the end weren't hugely successful. Lee Hugel doing good stuff for Queen's Park Rangers.
Oh, Jordan Hugel. Absolutely Middlesbrough lad.
That's
yes,
I might
is.
As well just pack up now, really. Yeah, what the hey?
I don't know whether, did I say Alex Neil the first time or Andrew Neil? That could have been.
No, we haven't quite gone that
far. No,
that
would be.
At least you still.
That would be weird.
Yes, Jordan Hugel, of course.
Yeah.
Who,
yeah. Absolutely. Maybe it was just too much for him coming back to his home club. Mm-hmm. And again, a player that made his name in the Championship at Preston. So say that they have lost a lot of, well, they've sold several big names in the last 2 or 3 years, but despite that, they've brought through a good young team, and at this stage, are mounting a challenge. But of course, the Championship, there's an awful lot of games in the Championship, and it's where you finish, isn't it? And if you're looking at, there's so many examples of clubs like Fulham that and even Norwich last season, that start very slowly.
And then accelerate,
and the momentum takes you forward.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a great player, that momentum.
Oh, he's good.
It's like Mo Salah, but even better.
Yeah.
It's great. I don't know. I'm looking at the table now, and I can possibly see at least two out of the three clubs currently in the relegation situations going down, even with the recent connection with the Cowley brothers, surprisingly leaving Lincoln. I thought they would have stayed there a bit longer.
But I presume that they looked at Huddersfield and thought that they were a club that had two seasons in the Premier League, which means they get longer parachute permits.
And they're currently 24th in Division 1.
Yeah, and that's it. People sometimes forget when a club is relegated, they think, well, they'll be amongst the automatic favourites. But there's a culture of defeats, isn't there? And it's very hard to turn that round.
Two words, Stoke City.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right.
A point above Huddersfield with 2 points, etc. And then there's a bit of a gap of 3 points, so until we get to Barnsley, Borough up on 9 points, obviously in 15th place, etc. But that, as I say, that last three, you got Luton, Reading, Wigan, etc. I can see them probably getting out of it in various ways or surviving.
Yeah, when they've found the feet in this division, in the case of Luton, certainly.
Yeah. Barnsley, Stoke and Huddersfield, I don't know. I just don't know. I just think that it might be sort of panning out on that sort of basis. However, that's another line. Let's talk about the Lionesses, because Steph Houghton, it's very confusing. Steph Houghton, I think, will probably be present together with Jill Scott and several other of the fabulous sort of folk who make up with the likes of Rachel Paris and so on. In fact, we were talking about this. The Lionesses, the England team, managed by Phil Excitable Neville.
Yeah,
will be.
Well, a lot of household names. That's the point, isn't it? That because of their World Cup exploits, there's an awful lot of names in the England ladies team that everybody will know, and it's going to be pretty much a full house, I think, at the Riverside. There's been really good pricing, and it'll be and to see them playing Brazil is another obviously Brazil, a fantastic name in world football. It's going to be a great occasion.
The home of Janinho.
Yes.
Obviously not a female footballer.
No.
Unless, of course, he's decided to go transgender. Let's not go there. a different line entirely. But it looks good. And, of course, part of the series of warm-ups, as we look forward, obviously, to England actually hosting the European Championship for women's football as well.
Yes, indeed. So the match is on the 5th of October, isn't it? Saturday the 5th, and Middlesbrough play away at Birmingham City on a Friday, so it's quite a busy few days for the football club and in both ways, for the Riverside as well as the team.
But it adds to the whole excitement of the whole thing.
Yeah,
that's the critical thing. Now, were there any sort of articles that out of the last paper magazine in Fly Me to the Moon, where we've got a few moments because we're giving extra bonus time here for our Red Army Radio people, which of course you might be listening to on Radio Nomai. .com. That's about it, really, isn't it? Radio Nomai.
There was quite a few people that were very upset about the Berry situation, and of course, as it was yesterday when the owners in the EFL decided not to back. I think you have to have over 50% not to back Berry's
bids to keep their funding and so on.
Yes, bid to go back next season in the bottom league, because that would of course mean that they maybe could hang on to Gig Lane and things like that. Yeah. But they said no, and I don't know where they go from there. It makes it very difficult, because
clubs have always, over the years, gone out of business, worked through that, Darlington, I suppose, being the most popular.
But what they didn't want to do was to become a Phoenix club.
No.
They wanted to have a situation where they could hang on to their assets. And now what, you know, if they have to start, like, almost park football, there's a lot of clubs that don't make it back. Yeah. I did some stuff at... some archaeology work at Bradford Park Avenue. Bradford Park Avenue did come back into existence, but they've never made their way. They've never got back into the league, and it's a sign of anger and emotion with a lot of the fans that we were digging up their old ground, which was still there, but they played several miles away on the outskirts of Bradford.
Emotion's going to be running high, and again, the line that comes across with respect to Mike Baker, actually, writing about Berry's demise, receiving a lot of coverage at the time. Eventually, the buzz moves on. Little more than a fortnight since the club's expulsion, it's been consigned to history. Not obviously for the Berry fans, who will obviously carry their memories of a promotion season. That's the thing which I think was so astounding.
I know, but maybe that is one reason why they're not getting the support from some of the owners, because it's felt that they actually got that promotion from an unfair position, in that they didn't have the resources that with the club. They had a really good team and they could not have afforded them. But I think from so many of the fans that have written to Fly Me to the Moon, they're maybe older fans who remember 1986, which is what we've just been talking about with the Gary Parkinson benefit. Yeah. 1986, when the gates were locked, when we were minutes away from going out of existence. Being in the same boat as Berry, so there's a bit of there's empathy, really.
As Mike Kelly actually alludes to, in Berry FC in the red and dead, and addressing the notion that current owner Steve Dale, of course, not the biggest and most popular fan or most popular person, should we say, in Berry, bought the club for £1 after the club ran into financial difficulty. Since stated, he didn't even know there was a football team called Berry, to be honest. Yeah, well, maybe if he'd had a bit of honesty, perhaps he would have had not that sort of problem, but never mind. So it goes. We talked about the good work of the MFC Foundation, of course.
Yes, that's right. Yes, I've been to a couple more foundation events, in that I've been to a charity night, which was a fundraiser, which was thinking back to the anniversary of us Middlesbrough playing in Europe, and a lot of money was raised for the foundation on the back of that. And then I went to an event at the foundation's Hurlingshaw Centre at Eston, which has been their main base over the years. And there they were showing that they were working with Amnesty International around football teams made up of refugees, asylum seekers, and making sure these people, it was a men's team and a women's team, and it kept them fit in body and in mind, and they said that keeping them fit mentally was essential, and it was trying to welcome them into the community and make them feel part of the community, and looking at various ways that it could work with supporters as well to interact with those football teams. So it's really heartwarming.
How can people subscribe to Fly Me to the Moon, the awesome paper magazine, Rob?
Oh, yes, please do. We need every subscriber we can. If you go to the website, fmttm.com, and click on subscribe, there's a lot of details there. Or you can email me at robshrug@gmail.com, or you can do it the old-fashioned way. You can write to Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Jilk Street, Middlesbrough, TS15AP.
Given my success with respect to obviously identifying the right year for the Stockton-Darlington railway thing, I hesitate to...
1826.
I hesitate to sort of say that it does look as though on page 31 of the last issue with respect to subscribing to the Moon, you're kind of standing next to a slightly elderly version of David Ginola.
Am I, really?
But you're not, are you? I mean, it's not. That's not.
I don't think so.
That is basically from the department of, it wasn't Angela Merkel taking the place of a weather forecaster, is that there?
Oh, I think I'm standing next to Mr. Andrew Smell Gilandi, the man who actually started Fly Me to the Moon.
And not David Ginola.
Not David Ginola. Just wanted to clarify that. He liked that because he's always been a handy footballer, and he sort of be compared to Ginola is.
Well, there we are. We're working through that. I'll give a couple of predictions because I just feel in that sort of mood. I will say, from my perspective, I think it's going to be 2-0 against Sheffield Wednesday for Borough. I think they might lose 2-1 against Preston.
Right.
I think it's going to be 3 points.
But I'd love to win both games. But I'll go with my heart. I'll say you were saying about low scoring affairs, so it'd probably be 1-0, and then we'll go for 1-0 on Saturday and 2-1 on Tuesday.
You know, bar's been set with respect to Watford, so why not 8-0 against Preston? You know, you did score 8 against that side a wee while ago. I managed to keep my City bias out of that view, but I think we've moved on since.
If we talk about setting that bar, was it Josh Hollis who was wanting Lewis Wing to score five goals beneath that set bar?
Literally, in the one game. Sorted.
Yes.
That's it. We thank you for listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast, in whichever form you've actually taken it, either online, i.e. live with the James Cook University Hospital, in whichever way, shape or form, or via Red Army Radio. We simply wrap up with those immortal 7 words. 1, 2, 3.
Come on, Borough.
That lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green, she's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So.
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or 7 simple seasons.
Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.